I'm Debbie Lang, a top New Jersey realtor with Berkshire Hathaway Home Services, Fox & Roach Realtors. I'm available to help you with all your real estate needs in central New Jersey. Please email me at deb.thevoiceofrealestate@gmail.com. You can also call me at 609-213-1900. Not looking for a home in New Jersey? I can refer you anywhere in the United States. I'm happy to help you. I'm here for you. Good morning to you. This is Debbie Lang, the voice of real estate on 920 AM, The Voice. Well, did you set your clocks back? Oh, no, actually, yeah, that's what you do. You fall back in the fall. Welcome November. Well, it's November, and guess what? The real estate market is still sizzling. It is hot, hot, hot in New Jersey right now, and I am honored to have here in the studio today Pamela Mulliken. She is an attorney with a wonderful law firm, Ansel Grimm & Aaron. Today, we are going to talk about foreclosures. Guess what? New Jersey is now number one in the country in foreclosures. We have beat Florida. Pamela Mulliken, let me tell you a little bit about her. She's a wonderful attorney, and she's had an interesting career in a national marketing and now works in the area of bankruptcy and foreclosures with this great firm here in Princeton. So welcome to the Voice of Real Estate, Pamela Mulliken.
Thank you very much, Debbie. And Debbie and I know each other from the community, and I really appreciate Debbie having me as a guest on her show today.
Yes.
Now that we're getting ready after the Halloween festivities last evening, and we're getting back into the groove of the fall and getting ready for all the holidays.
Yes. And did you see those leaves? They're gorgeous.
They're
those
beautiful.
Colors.
They're beautiful.
I saw a forecast that this was going to be a beautiful dry fall and a magnificent time to actually take in the trees. They didn't lose their leaves too fast because we really didn't have a lot of rain. We had a little bit of rain this past week, one day, and then all of a sudden the temperatures warmed up. I don't know what to wear anymore, whether to pull out my winter clothes because it does get cold. We did have a frost. It was in the 30s. And then all of a sudden we're back up to 70 degrees again this week. So you never know what to wear, that disparity of 40 degree different temperature difference.
Yes.
But, you know, houses look absolutely beautiful at this time of year and their properties look beautiful. It is a sad thing when people do lose their jobs or they can no longer take care of their home or they cannot afford their home anymore. If they got into mortgage that ballooned and they just can't afford their mortgage anymore, it is a sad thing. And I know that the floodgates opened up about 2 years ago. I think the federal government kept a screeching halt on allowing banks and lenders to foreclose on properties, and all of a sudden the floodgates opened up, I believe, about 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And I think that's the reason now we've become number one in foreclosure. So there, that being said, there are some very good deals out there, but let's talk about these statistics and what's going on here.
Sure.
We broadcast to Pennsylvania and we broadcast in New Jersey, but we also are podcasted all over the world 24/7. Anyone could be listening to the show. Let's talk about these deals and steals and opportunities that are available for buyers right now in New Jersey. And let's talk about these statistics and what we need to know about it, because you're specializing in
that
area.
Sure. Thank you, Debbie. New Jersey, fortunately or unfortunately, how you want to look at it, we're number one in foreclosures right now. And that's where we're located right at the moment. And it's we've beat out Florida. Florida historically has been, you know, the top state with foreclosures. But as you said, a couple of years ago, there was a robo-signing that would made a lot of the press and 60 Minutes and various other shows. And a lot of people are well aware of that. That slowed up foreclosures in New Jersey quite a bit. So New Jersey now is catching up with all of those foreclosures. And it does take a long time to get from beginning to end foreclosure. New Jersey is a judicial state. And being a judicial state, you know, it takes a longer process because it's supervised by the court system, by the New Jersey judiciary. There is an office of foreclosure that oversees all foreclosures in the state. I want to give you a little bit more statistics. Foreclosures nationwide were up 3%. However, New Jersey is increasing at 27% in the last 3 months compared with last year, compared with 2014. So foreclosures are going up pretty significantly, and that's because New Jersey is catching up with foreclosures now. So it's kind of like when you don't get something done around your house and all of a sudden, boom, you have a lot on your, you know, a lot to handle at one time. That is what the Office of Foreclosure is going through in New Jersey right at this moment and trying to catch up with all those foreclosures.
Now, why do you think that is? Why do you think that people get foreclosed upon? What happens, really? And how long is that process?
I think there's three major factors with foreclosure that really affect people that I see every day in and day out. I mean, it's really a shame, and it can affect anybody. Medical bills. You know, somebody gets sick in the family, even a lot of cancer and various really severe illnesses that people come down with, they're not 100% covered by insurance. So they're left with very large bills. That's a big issue. Divorce is another area, and it can affect really anybody. It doesn't matter. There's nobody immune to foreclosures. So those are a couple of areas where foreclosures affect individuals. And of course, top one is loss of job. You know, when somebody loses their employment, many times it's a couple and both of them are losing their employment.
And what's a person to do? And how do you step in as an attorney with a wonderful firm? How can you help people?
Well, there's two ways. I mean, my work stretches two different realms. I work with creditors, and I call them creditors to me, but they're banks primarily. So they're the entities that are commencing foreclosure actions. And then also myself and the rest of the firm, we also work with individuals in helping them prevent foreclosure from happening. And there's certain ways to get around that. Mortgage modification. A lot of times they can modify their mortgage with their lender. However, it's very difficult with some lenders to get through. An individual may not know what phone number to call, who to contact, and that's very daunting for them. So it's helpful to work with an attorney to really, you know, navigate that process for individuals. You know, there's other ways around it, including some file for bankruptcy at some stage of the foreclosure. And that kind of holds up the foreclosure. And within the bankruptcy, there is an area that we could get a mortgage modification, possibly working with the lender under the bankruptcy court's guidance in New Jersey to get through that tough period and hopefully modify their mortgage to make it more affordable for these individuals.
So you as an attorney, how do you prevent that from happening? I'm working on several short sales now where it seems to be the route, either in pre-foreclosure, list pendants was filed. Mm-hmm. The process seems to be a long process, which we're going to talk about that and
sure,
how long it takes.
Sure.
But how do you, as an attorney, prevent and protect your client, not the creditor, the borrower, from having that lawsuit filed again?
Sure.
Against them for that shortfall?
To protect them, I think it's better for them to call early on in the process and not let it go for a long time. I meet with clients sometimes, Debbie, that they come into my office and they have a ton of envelopes and they haven't even been opened. And their credit cards, their mortgage statements, and they get to the point that they just can't take it anymore. So it's better to consult with an attorney early on. And I understand sometimes these individuals say, well, that's another bill that I'm going to have to pay. Or they may turn to a credit agency, but the best bet is really go to an attorney, work within the guise of the legal system. The attorneys will know best the path for them to take, depending on what that path is for that individual. And it's different from individual to individual. So it's really sitting down and finding out, okay, what's their objective? Some individuals don't want to keep their home. So that's one of the questions I ask way up front. Do you want to retain this home? Or does it not matter to you anymore? Do you want to start fresh somewhere else? So that would be a totally different scenario than somebody saying, I do, this house means so much to me. It was in my family for years. My father built this house, and it would mean so much to me if I could keep the house. So it's those situations that we have to sit down and talk to these individuals and really understand what they want to do. And then work through the process from there.
So what is the time frame in terms of timeline with regard to if they don't pay their mortgage for how many months, do they file, does the creditor file a list pendants judgment against
them? Sure. Well, there are steps before that. And I think a lot of people have heard the term, quote unquote, pre-foreclosure.
Right.
Pre-foreclosure to a lot of people means a lot of different things, but it's prior to a foreclosure being commenced in the state. And what commences the actual foreclosure action is the fact that a complaint is filed with the court. So an actual complaint is filed, and that starts the foreclosure. Before that, the lender will go ahead and they'll send notices to the individual. So they'll get notices in the mail. But there's one notice that's very important that they need to look out for, and that's a notice of intent to foreclose. Once they get that, they have about a month to act, to contact the lender. It should say it's required via New Jersey statute that it will say in that letter who to contact at that bank. And that is the point. They probably would want to get an attorney involved.
Yeah, but how many months is that before you get
depends.
To that point? Do you know?
You know, that varies from lender to lender. Some may start almost immediately when a loan falls behind, and others may wait a period of time.
So 60 days, 90 days?
It could be longer than that, Debbie. It's hard, it's hard to know. That is a business decision that's made by a lender. And that watching your mail and opening up those letters is very important to know what's happening. So you'll know what's happening in terms of, did a foreclosure start? What have I gotten served with? When should I get an attorney involved? When do I need to respond? After that notice of intent to foreclose, there's a period of time that an individual may think of, should I file for bankruptcy? Are they a candidate for bankruptcy? So that is something they need to sit down. I mean, our bankruptcy clients, we sit down with them and we have a very lengthy form that we require them to fill out. It's as hard as applying for a mortgage. It really examines their financial state of affairs. And so we plug that all in to a bankruptcy software to be able to tell us, are they eligible for a Chapter 7 bankruptcy? Are they eligible for a Chapter 13 bankruptcy? What can they do to help stave off this foreclosure if that's what they wish to do?
So for our listening audience, what is the difference between a Chapter 7 bankruptcy and a Chapter 13 bankruptcy?
Well, a Chapter 13 bankruptcy isn't essentially a reorganization, where a Chapter 7, you're getting a fresh start. You're wiping clear all your unsecured debt. So they're different for different circumstances, and no two people are the same. So we really have to sit down with those individuals and determine what makes the most sense for them. Just because they think they should be in a Chapter 7, they may not qualify to be in a Chapter 7 bankruptcy. So we really have to sit down, examine the circumstances, and examine where they are in the foreclosure.
Well, they also can't buy anything. They can't get another mortgage, probably for another 7 years when you do that. That might not be their best option,
it
necessarily.
It may not be. Yeah. It may not be the best option, but for some, it's the only option.
Right. Well, if you have no option.
If you have no other option. So that may be the only option. So what we'll do is we work with plenty of lenders to modify the loan. We'll navigate that process with the lender, whether it be in a bankruptcy or outside of a bankruptcy. And we'll be able to work out that loan with the bank. So loan workouts is a large part of our practice, where we're working with the bank, we're working with the creditor, we're working with the individual to try to, figure out what they could do going forward and what type of payments they might be able to make. Banks may enter into a forbearance agreement with an individual. But they have to make the payments. Once they enter into that forbearance agreement, they have to think, okay, I have to cut out these things out of my life. And I see a lot of people going into bankruptcy and going into foreclosure that haven't given up these other things in their life that they like to do, but they really have to cut back on those social activities and, personal fun plans that they have to focus in on what's important to them and what's important for their family.
Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So for the buyers out there, there's some great opportunities. And what do you think is better, to get in there when it's already REO and the bank has totally foreclosed and there's been a sheriff sale, or in pre-foreclosure, which we start to talk about before, where the seller is about to take a short sale, they just want to get out from under, let's say. So what do you think is better? Because there's some really great opportunities out there right now. I'm in a few deals right now where I have a couple listings that are short sales, and I'm finding with the big institutions like Wells Fargo, which is one of my favorite lenders in the United States. They're a great sponsor of a lot of the real estate events, and they come to our summits where we have these great conferences at Berkshire Hathaway, where all the top realtors in the country meet, and we meet at these summits, and we meet some of the greatest people that are experts in real estate, economists, and a lot of motivational speakers and all that. And I found that Wells Fargo has been wonderful in terms of their home preservation specialist there and trying to help homeowners get out from under. And I don't know what your experience has been with creditors, but what do you think buyers' opportunities are right now?
Well, buyers' opportunities are going to depend on what that seller wishes to do, because that seller has an option. If they don't want the house, they should be listing it. If they truly want to sell the house, and if there's value in that home, to list it is a good option for them, and see what they can make in the home, and that may get them out from under. So that is an option, and folks should look out for those type of opportunities. However, it's not always up to that individual if a lender is not going to accept a short sale offer. They may not wish to accept a short sale offer for a variety of different reasons, and that's their business decision. So if they don't accept a short sale, you know, and somebody is interested in a particular home and really wants to get in there, sometimes they may have to wait through the whole foreclosure process until they get past sheriff sale, or perhaps that person wants to bid at sheriff sale. But that also is something that, without the proper knowledge and training, is not something that you want to just go in and bid at your first sale, because there may be other judgments and other things that need to be cleared, you know, perhaps another mortgage that's outstanding if the secondary lender foreclosed on the mortgage. Perhaps it's a condo association lien where they're foreclosing and there's other, you know, senior liens. So you have to be very careful and consult with an attorney as well to know, you know, when is the best time for the property. Banks may hold on to properties in OREO for a long period of time. They may choose until the market improves for wherever that home is located. They may choose to hold on to that property. That's a decision that the bank makes. But most every lender has an REO team, which is a real estate owned team, where you see the common phrase, which I know you know, Debbie, is a bank owned property. And you can't always tell that from the listings if this is a bank owned property or not. If something's in pre-foreclosure, it's not bank owned yet. And I think that's one of the biggest things that people don't quite understand. They think, well, the bank has title to the property. The bank doesn't have title to the property until after sheriff sale or until after a sale takes place of some sort. It's still that individual. So a lot of times in representing lenders, I'll get calls from individuals and say, hey, I know that you're, you know, there's this property that's for sale, or that's, you know, that's in foreclosure. Is that for sale? You know, can't the bank sell that to me? No, the bank can't sell it to you. It's still that individual that's residing in that home.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's their property. So it's really, you know, it depends, Debbie. It really depends.
A lot of caveats. Now,
there certainly is.
The banks are going out there right now. We had our first frost, and they're running around and winterizing. All of a sudden,
that's
70
right.
degrees.
That's
but
right.
We were in attorney review on a property where the buyers are just about to get out, and they need to do their home inspection, and the house had to be dewinterized again so that we could do the inspection. Luckily, it's an REO property and the bank did, at their expense, dewinterize. But a lot of times in pre-foreclosure, the caveat is the house is as is. Buyer, beware. So you need to do your due diligence as far as the condition of the home.
That's correct.
And sometimes it's really just cosmetics. And a lot of times it could be bigger ticket items like a 40-year-old septic that has not been maintained properly that is going to need to be replaced. And that's a huge ticket item. And with these sheriff sales, I don't know if you can go in there with a mortgage pre-approval and really just buy at a sheriff's sale. You really can't.
Yeah,
cash is better.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Yep. Cash is better at a sheriff's sale. Certainly. That's, you know, you have to put a percentage down at the sheriff's sale and you have to be prepared and you have to be prepared to act quickly at a sheriff's sale. So it's not for everybody. It really takes time to learn the process. If you're interested in going that route, go to sheriff sales ahead of time, ahead of when you're planning on bidding, and really see how the process works.
Yeah, it's open to the public. Anybody can go and watch. Yep.
You can go watch. I think they're interesting to watch, but you'll see the lender or a lender's representative will read the conditions of sale. And some of those conditions of sale, if you don't understand them, can be very frightening for a particular purchaser if they're not aware of what all these things mean and what all the legalese means. So it really is important to really learn the ropes first before you ever, you know, attempt to go that route, because you might be buying a property that is, you know, has a ton of work to be done and has a lot of other, you know, judgments and whatnot that need to be taken care of prior to moving in,
right,
or fixing up the home for resale.
Well, there's some great stuff on the market, so it's great to contact somebody like myself who has 29 years of real estate experience in central New Jersey.
Absolutely.
I know the market. I know the benefits of purchasing in the market. The question is whether it's valued right. I can do a comprehensive market analysis for free for people so that we could really look at, you know, the comps and what things are really going for.
Sure.
I saved a client of mine from purchasing a property because I looked at the tax records and I knew who that owner was. And I found out some really good information that nobody would have known, because I actually had his cell phone number and I called him. I said, "You let your house go to foreclosure. I happen to notice that you're the former owner. Now the bank owns it. What happened? What was the story with that house?" Well, I found out that the bank neglected to keep the power on, and he warned the bank that if that house did not have power on, the sump pumps wouldn't be working and operational and that basement would flood. Well, guess what? That house that my client was interested in bidding on was loaded with mold, had flooded out, had a lot of issues, had things that had collapsed in that house. And it's because the bank actually didn't do their homework and they didn't protect the property properly. So we couldn't understand, why was this property so cheap? Well, you know what? You get what you pay for. There's a reason for everything.
That's right.
And I play Debbie Detective for my clients. I really know a lot of people. I've lived in this community for 33 years and have been selling real estate for 29. So I'm very protective of my clients. I look to get them as much information as possible so that they make an educated decision when they buy something. Nothing in life is free. You don't get anything so cheap or free. There's a reason for everything. So it's good to know what is a good deal and what's a really good deal and what's a bad deal.
Right.
You know, sometimes things are not what they appear. Pamela, there's a difference between residential and commercial foreclosure properties. What is that?
Yeah, the difference between residential and commercial foreclosure properties are that in residential foreclosure properties, the notice of intent to foreclose that I was talking about earlier, that needs to be served first. You have to comply with the Fair Foreclosure Act when it is a residential property. When it's a commercial property, that's off the table. The second thing with commercial properties is that a lender can sue on the note. So in addition to mortgage foreclosure action, they can set another action to sue on a note, which you can't do in a residential foreclosure action because New Jersey is a foreclosure first state for residential mortgages. So until after that foreclosure is over with, there cannot be any type of deficiency action.
And the law did change in 2014 where municipalities in New Jersey are concerned with regard to foreclosures. And what is that new law?
Yeah, that new law in 2014, and lenders and individuals should be aware of that law, because you see there's a lot of abandoned properties in the state. There's a ton. And with those abandoned properties, there's more and more neighbors complaining that grass is overgrown and, you know, windows are broken and so forth and so on. So lenders can actually be fined $1,500 if they're not taking care of that property. So it's important for lenders to hire an attorney that is aware of all the laws and regulations in this state that affect them. And know that if these type of things happen, you know, that there is an overgrown grass, problems with the home, which you were mentioning before, that they take action, you know, so they don't get the complaints. The municipality doesn't get the complaints and doesn't slap fines, because that is a huge problem. The other thing is, yeah, in New Jersey, Debbie, there is a way that lenders can deal with abandoned properties. So lenders can take a different route in a foreclosure action, working through the court system, but it's a much more rapid pace. It doesn't take as long as a traditional foreclosure takes. Traditional foreclosures could take upwards of 3 years in the state of New Jersey. So a good attorney can cut to the chase in terms of foreclosures, knowing the abandoned property statute, so they can go ahead and foreclose on that property quickly. And really what you're doing in that case is you're moving all the pleadings that you would do over a period of time up front. So you're going ahead and being able to foreclose quicker. But we need to prove to the court that the grass is overgrown, that there truly is nobody in that home, that we've tried serving that individual and there's no way to get a hold of them. So there is a way to push these foreclosures forward and know the laws that are affecting lenders and being able to guide them through the process. So not only guiding the individuals, but guiding lenders is important in the foreclosure process, because there is ways that we can cut back on the time it takes to foreclose a property in New Jersey. And that's better for everyone involved.
And how do they know if it's abandoned? What if it's listed? Shouldn't they be contacting the realtor to get the information on the homeowner?
Funny you ask, Debbie, because there is a checklist. We have to go through and actually know, okay, is a property really abandoned? So by mail being left at the mailbox, by grass overgrown, which I mentioned before, newspapers piled up outside. And if the lender gets a hold of that individual, then that's a different story. And they say, you know what? We've been away, we're dealing with a situation, and we've been out of state and we couldn't take care of the property. Well, then we can't go the abandoned property route. You have to go the traditional foreclosure route in the state. And you can't really cut to this chase when it comes to abandoned property.
Best advice for a homeowner? Contact an attorney.
That's the best advice, Debbie.
And contact the lender. Be in communication. Don't just forget about it and think it will go away. Bankruptcy, commercial real estate, community association law, litigation, residential real estate. Pamela Mulligan from the wonderful law firm of Ansel Grimm and Aaron. Thank you for being on The Voice of Real Estate.
Thank you, Debbie.
Great information. You go out there and make it a beautiful November 1st. Enjoy the fall before the cold winter comes. I am Debbie Lang, The Voice of Real Estate on 920 AM The Voice. I'll see you next week.
I'm Debbie Lang, a top New Jersey realtor with Berkshire Hathaway Home Services Fox & Roach Realtors. As a 5-star award-winning professional for over 25 years, I can help you with all your real estate needs. Whether you need to sell your home or want to buy a home, call me to find out why now may be the right time to make a move. My number is 609-213-1900, or you can email me at deb, the voice of real estate, at gmail.com.